Light the Flames exhorted a poster published by the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam to mark International Women's Day in 1984. A traditional woman, manacled by her bangles to the prison-like bars of her home, metamorphoses into a tiger, an assault rifle slung over her shoulder. Emblazoned on the poster is a poem, "Pick up the torch of liberation and struggle, for with each heartbeat, our nation is taking form. Your body is the fuel that sustains the fire." Early last week, Shari Hayat Baloch, a zoologist, a schoolteacher, and a Balochistan Liberation Army terrorist, blew herself up outside Karachi University, killing three Chinese language teachers and their driver. Her story has provoked agonized reflection. What could possibly make a middle-class mother of two small children become a suicide bomber? But that's the wrong question. Exactly like men, women suicide bombers kill and die for causes, good or evil. Like men, they are motivated by political grievances, revenge and rage. The special kind of fear inspired by women like Shari Baloch has to do with patriarchy, not their bombs. Late one morning in April 1985, teenager Lola Aboud patiently waited for the Israeli soldiers who were closing in on her position after an hours-long battle to cover the retreat of the insurgents she led. Then Aboud blew herself up. 4 years earlier, her Syrian Socialist National Party had begun unleashing suicide attacks against Israeli troops who had invaded southern Lebanon. There was one unusual feature of this campaign. 6 of the 12 SSNP suicide attacks were conducted by women. Following suicide attacks on French and United States troops in 1983, those countries had pulled their soldiers out of Lebanon. The SSNP and other organizations like the Lebanese Communist Party hoped these suicide bombings would succeed in also forcing Israel out. SSNP attackers came from diverse religious backgrounds. Aboud, for example, belonged to an elite Christian family. Sana Mehdi Ali, a 17-year-old video store employee who detonated her explosives-filled car as she passed an Israeli military convoy in Lebanon's Jenin, was Muslim. There were Druze suicide bombers, Catholic suicide bombers, Sunnis and Shias. LTTE leaders emulated the Lebanese strategy, which they likely encountered at training camps in the Middle East. The first suicide strike, according to LTTE propaganda accounts, was by Vallupuram Vasanthan, who drove a bomb-filled truck into an army outpost in July 1987. The first women used by the Black Tigers suicide unit was Pushpakala Turesingam, who is claimed to have sunk a Sri Lankan naval ship in 1994. The best known of these operations, of course, was by Tenamoi Rajaratnam, the assassin of Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi. Although some Black Tiger operations had enormous propaganda influence, the work of the expert Arjuna Gunavardhana shows they had a marginal impact on the war itself. Black Tigers lost 227 men and 75 women in some 127 attacks. That's out of more than 18,000 LTTE insurgents, a third women, lost in conventional fighting. This is part of a global pattern. In just 4 cases, researcher Asaf Mogadem has noted, did suicide bombing campaigns actually achieve their ends. Rajiv Gandhi's assassination, notably, was a strategic disaster for the LTTE, turning India against the terrorist group. In spite of claims that women suicide attackers can easily deceive male-focused security systems, Nysa Falmer has demonstrated that, and I quote, "male and female suicide bombers demonstrated similar lethality in suicide bombing events between 2005 and 2016. The largest terrorist attacks of our times, 9/11, 26/11 attacks in Mumbai, the bombings in London, all involved only men. Women suicide attackers, though, remain valuable tools for both terrorist groups and the nation states opposed to them. The reason isn't hard to understand. Women suicide bombers, on average, get 8 times as much publicity as a male. Islamist groups began using women suicide attackers much before 9/11, drawing on the experience of the secular nationalist LTTE and the SSNP. The first attack psychologists Anne Speckhard and Kapta Akhmedova have recorded was carried out by Chechen jihadist Kava Barayeva in the summer of 2000. Women in Palestine followed. In 2002, Wafa Idris blew herself up in Jerusalem, killing one bystander and injuring over 100. Reem Saleh Riashi, who like Shari Baloch was the mother of two, famously posed for a photograph with her infant son before departing on her suicide mission. Further strikes followed in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Nigeria and Kashmir. The most lethal campaign though was in Russia, where women suicide attackers struck public transport, music festivals, in concerts. In 2004, Amanat Nagayeva blew up a Russian airliner, killing 43 people. Her sister, Rosa Nagayeva, was among several women suicide bombers involved in seizing a school in the town of Beslan, where over 100 children were killed. Gender stereotypes, scholar Claudia Brunner has noted, litter tellings of the stories of these women suicide attackers. In one book, Aboud is described as, and I quote, a dark-eyed petite girl of 19 with a shock of thick black hair caressing her soft oval face. Egyptian newspapers remarked on Idris's, and I quote again, dreamy eyes and the mysterious smile on her lips. You won't find any similarly lyrical accounts of male suicide attackers. Israeli sources claimed Riashi carried out the bombing to cleanse herself of a stain on her family honor from an affair. Idris, similarly, was claimed to have become a suicide bomber because of her inability to bear children. Lawyer Thanadi Tehsir Jaradat, who chose to remain single until she carried out her suicide attack, was marketed as the Bride of Haifa in a bid to address conservative concerns about her personal life choices. Ayat al-Akhras, who chose to become a suicide bomber instead of marrying, was labelled the Bride of the Heavens. Women bombers' motivations are explained as stemming not from political motivations, but from the mental instability of all women who might be driven to commit suicide for purely personal reasons. Scholar V.G. Julie Rajan has argued in a recent and thoughtful book on this issue. Lydia Day has shown that Hasna Etbulashan, wrongly reported to have blown herself up in Paris in 2005, received far greater coverage than even the actual suicide bomber, Shakib Akru. Large swathes of reportage focused on her sexual life and her drinking. Two major newspapers even published images of a topless woman in a bubble bath who turned out to be unconnected to Etbulashan. Female political violence becomes almost a punchline to salacious jokes, Day pithily notes. Ever more lurid stories have proliferated. Exploding breast implants, vaginal cavity bombs, even the use of babies as decoys. In some countries, panicked authorities have done things like banning full-face veils, even though few suicide bombers have actually sought to conceal their identities and none pack explosives around their face. LTTE propaganda often casts women as victims of sexual violence by Indian or Sri Lankan soldiers, placing what was their political choice in a revenge narrative familiar in conservative societies. Anger against sexual violence did indeed motivate many to join the LTTE, as this expert Miranda Allison has recorded, but there's little evidence for the black tiger as avenging goddess story. From the testimonies of women LTT insurgents interviewed by Yamuna Sangarasivam, it is also clear that militarization or joining a terrorist group offered women some freedoms. There's a difference between us women cadres and the everyday woman on the street. One LTT woman said, "Boys will not approach us in any way, will not dare harass us in the way that girls still get harassed when they step out of the house." The woman tiger, though, merely substituted the prison of the home for another kind of incarceration within patriarchy. Tamil mothers make great sacrifices for their sons on a daily basis, feeding them before themselves or the girl children, serving them and so on, an activist told the scholar Anna Cutter. Acting as a human bomb is understood and accepted as an offering for a woman who will never be a mother. For both terrorist groups and the nation states they fight against, the woman suicide bomber's inversion of patriarchy is key. females as life givers are a foundational trope of patriarchal societies. The woman who dies and kills engages in an act of theatrical subversion. Lost in this narrative war, though, are the stories of the women themselves and why they acted as they did. I'm Praveen Swamy, and I'm National Security Editor of The Print.